Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Really quickly, just to follow up, if I could, you mentioned earlier with the offensive play call, you're going through a process. What do you need to see to make a final decision?
We're going through a process. Simple as that.
Okay. It's just a little bit of an unusual situation for us that have watched you guys before. And so,
what do you want me to do?
I guess we're just looking for a little clarity as to why we're seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah. Going through a process.
Okay.
That is Phil Perry asking Bill Belichick after the game about the offensive coaching situation. I still think the great is still one of the funniest. I don't know why that gets me every time.
It's equivalent to when someone says good for you, but they don't mean it at all. Like, oh, good for you. And you're like, wait, what?
It's like, the insincere
when he's like, oh, I was just asking. Oh, good for you. Like, good for me that I asked? You're like, what? Like, you'll get that every once in a while. Yeah, it kind of stings.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, what do you want me to do? I don't know. Answer any of the questions that we asked or tell us who's calling plays, because it is – it's weird. Let's be honest. You look around the league or even the history of the Patriots, this has not been something they have ever done.
Great.
They went from Charlie Weiss to Josh McDaniels to Bill O'Brien back to Josh McDaniels, and now it's Matt Patricia slash Joe Judge while also installing, I don't know if you want to call it an entirely new playbook, but at least it's new from what they were doing a year ago. Right?
New to all these guys. It's like NBC.
It is, yeah. Ah, you missed it. Yeah, summer programming. Remember? Yep. It's new to you. It's all reruns. The hell? But it is an adjustment. So when he says process, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think sort of the playbook, just getting the whole team up to speed on this playbook. And
oh, interesting.
I think it's
yeah,
bad.
Well,
I think
don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
I am worried about it. I'm very worried about it. I thought about it all weekend. I think that is part of the process. It's like everybody getting on the same page. That includes Patricia and Judge, but very much has to do with the players.
So how do you out there take Bill Belichick using the phrase, it's a process? We are going through a process. Because I think what you mentioned is definitely in the mind of someone like Belichick, there is no question that that is a part of it, because it's the, can we install this new run scheme?
Oh,
can we execute what we think we might be able to? And I know that today they're, I can't tell, it looks like they're in uppers today, I think.
I don't know if they're all wearing shoulder pads.
I know.
They're definitely not wearing padded pants. I don't think they're wearing shoulder pads.
I can't tell. So you're right. Like it could be pretty much non-contact, but I know that some of the things that the offense has been doing here in practice today, starting to work in a little more of the cross the formation motion to where you can sort of do that kind of jet sweep play fake, and some of the things that the San Francisco 49ers do, or it's out of that Shanahan, at least run-based offense.
Yeah.
And I think in trying to figure out the process, people take it as, well, you don't know who the guy is going to be. And I know that Dante Scarnecchia has done a couple of interviews on the Greg Hill show, and he is of the, oh, Bill knows who's going to call plays. Whatever charade is kind of going on right now, there's got to be a method to the madness, and whether it's prepping both play callers or not. But I think you bring up the part of this that is lost on a lot of people, which is I think they're still figuring out, what can we run? Mm-hmm. What can we trust our guys to run? And then How do we then implement that into what will look like the 2022 Patriots playbook?
Well, I think there's also, with this team, there's a few certainties on offense. Like, you know Mac Jones is the quarterback. You know David Andrews is the center. There's a few. Hunter Henry is your best tight end.
Your offensive line is kind of pretty much set on the whole.
But I wonder with Onwenu. Like, I still wonder about that. Like, I think that's sort of the obvious. You put him in as the starting group, but there's questions about him and you're already flipping tackles. Like, there's already some – that's a process, right? Like, you're doing some changes on the O-line on when who's kicked in. And then I would also say, like, the wide receiver position still seems pretty open. Each guy is sort of flashed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start a game with two wide receivers on the field, I think that's still up in the air, like, who those two guys are even going to be. So, and then, you know, the Harris and Stevenson combination. How did those guys split reps? So I think there's still a lot to be determined. You know, some teams have more questions going into camp than others. Like, some are like, here are our 11 best guys. There's no doubt about it. We can rest them all if we want, or it doesn't matter. We're just waiting for week one. A team like the Patriots, I think they have a lot more questions that need to be answered.
You know, it's interesting. I don't see Isaiah Wynn out there in terms of practice. It looks like it's Yadni Kajust. So it looks like 72. Kajust is kind of running with the ones. And I know they went, as you and I have talked about, extra offensive lineman,
yeah,
and it was Arlington Hambright, it looked like, by number, who was the dude that you know what, there really is very much a part of me that does want that guy to start, like, I want to hear Greg Gumbel or whomever come in
Arlington Hambright
and stumble all over themselves. There's no doubt. Like if Pat McAfee were calling the game, he would make fun of that name for a good quarter.
He would be fixated on it.
Yep. Meanwhile, it's like, most of these color guys would just be like, what a story.
What an incredible story.
Just like Jelani Tavai or Harvey Lange. What a story. So you're starting to see the tight ends kind of mixed in the backfield a little bit, and hopefully that's where we start to get kind of layer two of this offense. But I got to say, it did sort of raise some eyebrows after week one, and especially on Friday, because the Patriots won one of two preseason games. You had, I think it was like 5 on Friday, 8 on Saturday, and then you had the standalone game yesterday out in Vegas in the middle of the afternoon, which was kind of odd. But I know that it became the talk of the process. What is the process? What does that mean? And apparently Bill Belichick earlier today mentioned that it's not competition, basically. Which
I feel like that's counter to what he said in years past, where, like, everything's a competition. Remember, even Brady has made, like, snide little comments about how he's in a competition for his job.
That is true.
Like that. So shouldn't that also be the case for coaches, especially when they're neither are proven?
Well, when there's no choice, I guess that's the part of this that does make it hard to kind of figure out, because even as we're sort of looking right here, you know, they've gone into a different period of plays, and I'm trying to see if it's Joe Judge that is relaying the information in there, because early on it was definitely Matt Patricia.
Right.
Can't see who's got that, ordering lunch walkie-talkie kind of deal.
Yeah, right.
To be able to talk to the quarterbacks, because I think when Bill Belichick mentioned we're going through a process, that automatically it was, well, there must be a competition between those two guys.
Is it competitive, you know, like it is for the players, where you're competing for opportunity and being evaluated?
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Interesting.
because part of me, and I know Bill doesn't give unnecessary or at times necessary information to the media.
That is true.
Because he's like, what's the point? How does it really benefit me?
Yeah, great.
But I also wonder if part of the reason why he's not saying Matt Patricia's the play caller is just because if he, a week from now, has to yank those responsibilities, it's not as embarrassing. It's not as publicly shaming, right? You're like, well, he's not the play caller anymore. He's like, well, I never said he was. You know, like, there's part of that where you're kind of protecting the guys and you're leaving it open-ended, because maybe in the back of his mind he's thinking, yes, this is who I want to be the main play caller. But if we get through a whole month of camp, two joint practices, three preseason games, and it's still not looking great, he more than reserves the right to switch it and either give it to Judge, give it to himself, or do whatever.
And I think that from that end, from the public positioning, it's a great point. Because it's the – you're trying to have the guy not get egg on his face. You don't want the organization to look stupid. And on a quick Google search, it also shows that Matt Patricia is under contract with the Lions through 2022. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So next year, he would get the role of offensive coordinator, the subsequent raise.
Possibly.
Now
yeah.
that old lady Ford isn't still sending Matt Patricia checks to kind of, help sort of defray the cost of having both of he and Joe Judge on staff. It's just really interesting that it isn't competitive between the two guys. And I guess that would then almost become – that process would almost be unfair from this standpoint. The ones
what, for Patricia and
it,
Judge?
If it were those two guys competing on who can call the best plays right? Well, who's running with the ones? Who's running with the twos?
Right.
Who gets to call plays with the good guys? Who's calling plays with backups? What exactly would you then be looking for? You call a great play, but a guy drops the ball. He's wide open. Is that going to be a demerit against the offense? You almost can't have – to have a healthy offense, you almost can't have two guys competing for that job while they're out there calling plays. And I think that's the one thing you and I have kind of cleared up in all of this. And even with Bill saying that, it does make some sense that they're not competing. But then again, why is he prepping both? Like, what is the
– yeah.
What is the – here's the
leaving
best
the door open.
But
right?
here's – well, there's leaving the door open, no question. But here's the best thing that I could come up with. If – for some reason, either Matt Patricia's pulled away for something else, or he's got to get with Bill on figuring out an offensive line combination, whatever it is, I guess it is good to know that you can say to Joe Judge, I need you to take this series because they're putting their beautiful minds together. And even then, your offense is on the field. It's not like you're talking to the guys. It's just coach talking to the coach.
But that's also – that's a really tough thing to do.
Exactly.
And maybe those guys see eye to eye. Maybe they don't. But isn't part of a good play caller is sort of setting something up in the first quarter.
Rhythm.
That you're
kinda,
but you're also going to go back
layering
to the third
the game plan.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
And so if you take a guy and all of a sudden mid-game he jumps in, maybe he's not thinking the same way and you miss out on some nuance. I also wonder with Mac Jones, and he'll say all the right things publicly,
yep.
but when you have – position coaches, coordinators, head coaches, he probably has a better working relationship with one than the other. Doesn't mean they're both not – I mean, they both could be great. They both could be trash, but
right.
but they're not the same. Like, when he's in a one-on-one meeting with Joe Judge versus a one-on-one meeting with Matt Patricia, he probably has a different vibe. Like, this guy I kind of like a little bit more than the other guy.
And there is the – you know, Matt Patricia is still coaching the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever they break up
–
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's the team period mm-hmm. where Patricia is seemingly coaching everyone. And, by the way, now that I can see it, he is the one calling in the plays
yeah.
here in this period that the Patriots have going on in practice. Lots of lots of tight end in that fullback role. So you got
yeah, right.
tight ends kind of lining up in the old backfield now. But, I think it is – it was one of those comments from Bill Belichick that definitely mm-hmm. got people talking, and it's going to make people look deep into, oh, my God, what is this process? But really at the end of the day, it's not Patricia versus Judge. Mm-hmm. But Joe Judge is the one – that arguably has a bit of a more important role, as crazy as that sounds.
Well, it's all about developing Mac Jones.
Bingo.
Right? It's
and
all about
there
that.
You go.
And those guys are both going to have their hand in it, which, again, goes back to 3 months ago or whatever it was when we got the coaching staff, and that was my concern with him. Like, you like him more than I do, but I just feel like in the right environment, he has the ability to really excel. And I think it just – is this the right environment?
It's a real challenge.
Yeah.
It is from the Mac standpoint because, like you said, it is unconventional. But there's just, like, Mac is different, and not in a bad way. Like, I think for Brady, at some point in Brady's career,
yeah.
he would have been able to raise his hand and be like, this is bull-ish. I don't want to deal with this setup. Here's how I want to do it, da-da-da.
But the first
whereas
5 years?
Whereas with Mac,
yeah.
forget about it. Like, right now, he's in the, okay, you tell me what to do,
oh,
and
no,
I'm going to go do it mode.
He's a football psycho. Like, he is. He's
yes.
perfect for Bill. That's true. But Tom Brady's first 5 years, not only did he have Bill Belichick, he also had Charlie Weiss. Right, for the first 5 years. So there was consistency there. This is different, and we talk about this with other quarterbacks around the league, saying, man, that's tough for a third-year quarterback to be on his third coordinator or his second head coach.
Like Drew Bledsoe went through, yep.
Yeah, like it's really tough. And, you know, a couple of the examples that jump to mind are, you know, in Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones, two guys that the Patriots are going to see. They saw Daniel Jones last week,
yep.
and they're going to see Baker Mayfield roll into town tomorrow. Both probably had their best years as rookies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some shuffling. There's a new head coach. There's a new coordinator. I think in the case, both, actually, in the case of both those guys.
Yep.
And then they kind of went down. And you're like, oh, did the league find out about them? Or did they just not have the right supporting cast to kind of continue on the ascent that they were on?
And then figure out, you know, it, to your point, can those guys really play at a high level?
Yeah.
It feels like, and it's interesting because last night on the Gress Show on CBS Sports Radio, I did a ton of just crapping on Deshaun Watson, and it turned into pretty, talking about quarterbacks.
Pretty easy topic.
Thank God. I needed it. But somebody raised the question during the show last night, how do you think this quarterback market is going to settle down? And the guy had a good point, or an interesting point, where he said the middle class in the quarterback world is about to grow. And he brought up some examples of guys like you mentioned, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones could be out on his ass, Carson Wentz, he might be one and done in Washington, to where you have these guys who have a little bit of kind of playoff credibility. Hell, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to be in that middle class group. Matt Ryan, if it's only one and done in Indianapolis,
yeah,
that's a guy who's going to be like, okay, he's older. I know I can get this out of him. I know we can win at a certain level, but he's not the guy that's necessarily going to take us to a Super Bowl. And that middle group, you're going to have the real high-end guys. You're going to have the youngs that are on the way, like Mac and others that you hope don't screw it up. And then there's going to be this middle-class group of guys that you can throw $20 million to for 1 year,
yeah,
and they can come in and at least hold down the fort, which is what might end up happening in Cleveland, if you believe reports,
right,
that if today Watson gets suspended for the year, then maybe Cleveland turns around and trades for Garoppolo.
Yeah, there's like 10 guys probably or more. I mean, we like the tier three quarterbacks from The Athletic, I think,
yep,
it was, which is all about supporting cast, and it's Kirk Cousins and Kirk Cousins adjacent, right? It's guys like Kirk Cousins.
What a great way of putting
it.
It's
good and bad versions.
Kirk Cousins adjacent.
Yeah, right. Like Jimmy Garoppolo is like a more fragile Kirk Cousins. You know, Baker Mayfield also could be kind of considered that same thing where you're like, all right, if you have a really good team, maybe we can get by with this. We can't afford to have one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. That's not good enough.
Right.
We're going to get smashed around. Like, if we have Sam Darnold, we're not going to win games. But if we have the right guy in the right spot, maybe we can do it. And you're right, because you see some of these contracts that Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson are getting, what Lamar Jackson's hoping to get.
Yep.
And you say, all right, that's the young guys right after their rookie deal they're going to commit crazy money to. But if you miss out on that window, which Baker Mayfield's going to, what are you looking at? Is it patchwork? Like, hey, we'll give you 2 years. Like Kirk, again, going back to Kirk Cousins, 2 years, $50 million, all guaranteed, but we're only going to give you 2 years because we don't really trust you, and we're also always looking for your replacement.
That's right.
But you're better than the alternative, and maybe we can win some games with you. So
it's
an interesting group, and you wonder, again, it's only year two for Mac Jones, but after year two, you're going to start to see which path he's kind of going a little bit closer
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you, yeah. Look, I think if he is going to ascend the way people want, there used to be the old line from Marty Schottenheimer. If you get out of your quarterback in year two, what you got out of them as a rookie, then you're doing okay and they're going to survive. I think now that's a little more accelerated. And I think you can tell.
Yeah, because the rookie
the guys that are going to, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guys that are going to approach the top 10 eventually in their career are the ones that in year two take that jump. Like a part of the kind of the consternation with Kyler Murray was that his added value in year two was the like 13 rushing touchdowns and stuff like that. But as a passer, the completion percentage has gotten better. The rating has kind of gone up. But he hasn't had the breakthrough of where he went from 24 touchdowns to like 40 touchdowns.
Well, his problem last year was he fell apart because they started the year. The whole team was gangbusters.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray. And he was even in the MVP conversation. But
you catch up to what they're doing real quick.
The MVP conversation through 8 weeks is always very different than it is through 17 weeks.
It's pretty amazing, right? Like
there's always a guy that jumps out, like whether it's Kirk Cousins or Tannehill or Kyler Murray, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. But then it's the same thing with those teams that are like a sneaky 8-1, and then they finish 10-6.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, okay, what happened?
10-7 now.
You got to add the other game.
It's going to take a while for us to really adjust and adapt to
but
that.
But it is what I do like 17. About it. Outside of a tie, which could still happen, is you're guaranteed a winning or a losing record. There's no more of
that's true. You're 8-9 or 9-8.
That's always the Mike Tomlin kind of thing. He's like, he's never had a losing record, so he's always had a winning record. Like, well, no, a couple like 8-8s in there.
Yeah.
But now you're guaranteed one or the other.
It's one of the great consternations of sports.
Yeah,
like,
right.
If you're .500, are you good or are you bad?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. It's correct. The perfect Y in the road. You just stand there yep. and see who's going to scream on each side. We are at Patriots training camp, and that means our training camp coverage with Gretchen Keefe and on WEEI, brought to you by Zudy. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy, that's Zudy.com for your free trial. New England Spine Care, we've got your back at anyspinecare.com. Henry Elliott and Company, the interoperability staffing partner of the healthcare IT industry at henryelliott.com. Well, get your eggnog ready because on Christmas Day, the Celtics will play. And will they be adding a big? Sean Devaney wrote about that. We'll get to all that with you next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!